You're listening to the Run for Your Lives podcast.
Everyone, welcome to the show. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Paik.
And this is the Run for Your Lives podcast.
This week we are going to talk about the action horror film Final Girl that was directed by Tyler Shields and released through video on demand August 14th, 2015. And I had never heard of this movie even once in my life until Daphne brought this up. I was like, hey, let's cover this one. Kind of quick, easy one. It's just been like a busy time of the year. It's not like an excuse for anything because we're still going to have fun. We're not looking to throwaway stuff. I think we're still going to have fun with this one. But yeah, I had never heard of this movie, which is a little surprising considering the cast, but really some of them.
Yeah.
It was an experience.
I thought that it might be. I knew that if we covered this movie, we would have a lot of fun with it. Because there are some things that are kind of cool, and then there are some casting ideas that are great, and then there, it's just a whole lot of something.
Mm-hmm. So I'll come clean about my thoughts on this movie from the beginning, I guess, with two thoughts. One, I say, well, that was definitely one of the movies I've seen in my life, and then... Another one was if I was trying to like come up with like a little tagline for it. And let's see if I can find a few good actors trying their hardest to believably deliver some of the worst dialogue ever written. That's my tagline for the movie.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
There were things I really liked about this movie and things I was kind of like, oh, it could be so much better if someone else wrote the script. Because the way it was shot, I liked some of the noir feel to it.
Yeah, there's a few things that one thing that I can definitely point that I liked. But yeah, it was just like the concept, the premise is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But they somehow managed to take a really interesting concept of, oh, take the damsel in distress, but she's actually like a covert operative who's going in where like these serial killers think that she's another just helpless damsel in distress victim when really the tables are going to turn. I was like, oh, that's a great premise. Too bad you really botched it. and made me not care at all about a lot of it, unfortunately.
No, that's fair, I think. I think it was better the first time I watched it because this time I was like, oh, well, we're going to have some fun with this because it's definitely not as good as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still things that I thought were good. And the cast is really good. Like, yeah, it's a great cast.
There's great cast. Like I said, there's like good actors who are trying their damnedest to deliver this stuff. But even with like the caliber of cast, it still was just like, it just came across as phony. And because I was like, Wes Bentley, I love Wes Bentley. And I was like, man, he's such a great actor. And yet, like, he is doing the best he can with this trash script. Like, he's really working it. He's trying to make me believe it. But like, man. Or like, even Alexander Ludwig, I enjoy. But like, again, he's doing the best he can. Now, Abigail Breslin. Maybe not the strongest performance I've seen from her. I think she was, I don't know. I'm not going to just like assume things about people, but she might have been phoning some of this in. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. The only one that I thought was over the top sinister like was, I think it was Logan Huffman who played Danny.
The award for most over-the-top theatrical performance goes to Logan Huffman. Because life is just a 50s Broadway play to old Danny here. He's a Jersey boy through and through, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I bought him more of being the menacing bad guy because of the way he was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was very over the top, and I feel like he had to be that over the top just to get the point across that he was kind of whacked.
Yeah.
But the others, they had little quirks. Like Nelson had this thing going with his mother.
Right. It's like there's like these little morsels in there. You're like, that could be really interesting or weird or fun if you would explore any more,
yes.
But you're not giving us any more information. So it just comes across as weird.
Yeah. And Alexander Ludwig as Jameson, he's a great leading man, I think. We've seen him in other things.
Yeah, if this was the only thing I'd ever seen him in, it would paint him in a very different light in my head. Where
yeah.
it'd be like, oh, he's the pretty boy who like thinks he can act. And yes. sometimes he can hit something okay. But yeah. I know what he's more capable of because, I mean, obviously some people might know. Unfortunately, not enough people apparently was the problem.
Right.
But some people listening might know. I mean, he's Ace Spade in the show Heels. And
yes.
God, which that's a TV show cancellation that will forever make me angry for eternity until that wrong is righted. Which maybe, there's some talks to get picked back up, so
yeah.
I'm going to keep hoping. But no, because he's incredible in that. So thankfully for me, I went into watching this knowing what Alexander Ludwig is capable from starring in Heels to be like, okay, he was young, he was just trying to make trying to do what he could do here.
Yeah, at the same time, I think he was starring in Vikings, which he played Bjorn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, badass.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen Vikings yet, but I've heard he was good in that, too.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that. He played Cato in The Hunger Games, which also starred Wes Bentley. And mm-hmm. Cato was one of those, you know, privileged kids that came from, I think, District 1 or 2, and he was, you know, a star.
I have seen The Hunger Games, but I guess the first one, it's been long enough that I totally forgot he was in that, but yeah.
Yeah, and Abigail Breslin, come on. I mean, she's been in so many great films. Little Miss mm-hmm. Sunshine, My Sister's Keeper is another one, which is rip your heart out. She was in Zombieland. Like, she's been in a lot of great movies. And, yeah, I felt like...
It's not the strongest performance I've seen from her.
No. I wanted to love it. I think her character had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And I feel like instead of amping things up as high, they put all the amping into Danny's character and everyone else was way down. And I wish that they had toned him just a tad and amped everybody up because I think it could have been better. Like, and these are people that have been in, you know, some great films, as we've talked about. Cameron Bright was in... Oh my gosh, when he was younger, he was in this movie called Godsend. Okay. And that is one that is, it's real kind of creepy. But he also then went on to be in the Twilight movies. So, I'll let you decide on that one. But, I think there was a lot of potential. I think it got left kind of...
Yeah, and the movie's short.
Yeah.
It's just over an hour and 20 minutes. Where, like, honestly, I mean, I say this, but, like, with some hesitation. To say, like, you could have made this movie a little bit longer and fleshed out some of these stories to, like, make us care. Because there's so many questions that I had that were just ignored and never answered. But I say with hesitation because I'm also like, but would I really want to watch more of this movie if it was, like, the way that it is? Because it already, even at being a short film... Or not like a short film, but like a shorter movie, still felt like it was dragging on way too long in some points. Like there's just a lot of, like when they're sitting around playing like the truth or dare, pulling the things, I was like, see, this is when editing stuff out would have been okay. Like you can cut this down so you can focus on other things. Cause like, I was like, can we just get to the part where they're trying to kill her and she turns the tables on them? Cause right now me just, the build up to that with this whole scene is torture for me. So can we move along?
I wanted the shit to hit the fan. Like, that's what I was hoping for. I'm like, bring it on. I'm ready. Let it hit the fan. Because then it's going to amp up and be good. And there wasn't enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked some of the filming. Like, how it was dark and some of the colors, like the reds and the whites, really popped in.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Shields is a photographer. Like, he's not really known for making movies.
That makes sense, because there's a lot of artistically set up shots that don't really make sense.
No.
It's like, what's with the giant spotlights in the woods everywhere? I don't know. That's not where the moon is, so I don't know what that's from.
So he's a well-known photographer. He actually, at one point, was dating Clint Eastwood's daughter, Francesca. Mm-hmm. And they did some photo series that was actually got them in a lot of trouble. They took a Birkin bag, which is a very expensive purse line.
Mm-hmm.
Was a $100,000 purse. And they lit it on fire. They used a chainsaw on it. Like, it was... for artistic purposes, they did all this stuff. Did not go over well. People were not pleased with what they were doing. That he has a very unique vision.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he's never directed another thing. Like, this was it. And
because that kind of eye, it just didn't translate well for film. Because I can see, like, there's like, you know, artistic shots, like from a photographer's mind. I'm like, that's a cool shot whenever you're just looking at something in a very small, like, area when you're scoped in.
Yes.
But then on a wide screen, like, even just the editing, you think, because I'm jumping around a lot, but I'm just getting to some of these notes that I had anyway. Like, I mean, you know, when Jameson is there at the end, when he's in this noose, like, hanging, I'm like, what is the noose attached to? There's not a tree anywhere near him.
No.
Like, it's just from the rafters on the set that it's then. It's like, if that was a photo where you're just, like, in, like, it's like, okay, cool. But
yeah,
when you're on effective. A set and you're panned out and there's people moving and talking, you're like, there's literally nothing he's hanging from. And I can tell that, and it takes me out of it.
Yeah. I think that there were a lot of lost opportunities. And if I told this story, if I was in charge of it, I would have flipped it around and given you a different scenario where maybe at the beginning you do see someone running through the woods being chased, but you don't know who's doing it. And then maybe you cut to these kids and you don't know that it's them. Like, you learn more about them and then it's a surprise that it's them. It's been done, though, a million times. I feel like what they tried to do was do it a little bit different, but they didn't give you enough of a morsel to really care. Like, I wanted Veronica to succeed because I liked what we saw of her. I just felt like it was so subdued. Like, she had some great, like, there were some fun comebacks that she had.
Yeah.
And I liked that she dished things back to Jameson, but it was weak.
Yeah.
It was just so weak that it's like, and we're talking about, the name of this movie is Final Girl. We're talking about a trope. We're talking about people that are left in horror movies, like Laurie Strode or Jamie Lloyd, both from the Halloween franchise. There are so many, you know, different movies. Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. The Final Girl is like this powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. And well, think back to when we did Behind the Mask, like, Leslie Vernon had a whole speech about the importance of the final girl.
Yes. And I feel like Veronica could have been stronger. They could have really dug into William more. Like, we could have really maybe seen him with his wife and daughter. Like, seeing that situation.
Those things, it's like this whole thing has started off because somebody killed his wife and daughter. Are we led to assume that it was Jameson? I guess.
I don't.
But it's never spelled out. Like.
And how could it be? Because Jameson is like a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He would have had to have been a kid. Like, when it happened.
Well, I guess Jameson mentioned something. Well, no, the grandfathered-in thing was about Jennifer, which was weird. No, but it seemed like I got these hints that maybe this was a generational thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is what I'm thinking. When he was telling the story about the rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point, when it's time for them to go after Veronica, he tells her, run, rabbit, run. So in addition to that, plus the way he phrased the story, I was thinking that his father maybe was teaching him the family business.
Yeah.
When they were going out after the rabbit. So I'm thinking they were just continuing on a tradition in the town.
Yeah, because what I think we did, we learn that Nelson's father's in prison. So,
well, in the mess hall, yeah.
So maybe that's also a thing that connected to it, that like it's the sons continuing on what the fathers had been doing. So yeah. maybe William's wife and daughter were killed by Jameson and Nelson's fathers, or you know.
Yeah. I mean,
this stuff, like, I'm having to like assume because none of it is given to us, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's an unanswered question. Mm-hmm. So in my head, that's the story I've created. And sometimes it's fun to try to make up your own story, especially if the movie doesn't give you enough to, really to go on, then you just create your own. And that's kind of what I did with this one.
Yeah.
So we did not even get into the part where I get to talk about where this has been filmed.
Like, oh, yeah. We skipped ahead into already conversations.
We're already talking. Okay. And I feel like we've already covered it. So that was great, Paik. I think we're done. I'm just kidding.
We did it. No.
So this movie was filmed in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We've already talked about it being directed by Tyler Shields. It was his directorial debut. I don't think he's had another movie. 84 minutes long. Paik, bring us a synopsis.
As we already have kind of talked about a little bit, yeah. A man teaches a young woman how to become a complete weapon, so that later she's approached by a group of sadistic teens who kill blonde women for unknown reasons, and the hunting season begins.
I think that's great. IMDb?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Even the IMDb one is like, for reasons? I don't know.
Stopping things. Yeah.
Because the script said so that's what they're doing. Yeah, because there's a lot of things with William. Like, you know, we'll get to that when we get to him. I've got thoughts. But yeah, we'll do like we usually do. We'll kind of still go with character notes. I've jumped around and done a bunch for some already. But
yeah,
we'll bring it back in line a little bit. So obviously we start with the final girl, Veronica.
I had higher hopes for her just because...
Yeah. Yeah, so we start off, I mean, the first thing we see of her is, like, she's, like, this young girl. Both of her parents have died somehow. And, again, just a lot of things. Like, I don't know. This guy, William, has found her and knows that she is gifted and smart and capable of maybe being this, you know, he kind of, I mean, it is. It's kind of grooming her to grow up to become this, like, killer and self-defense kind of thing. And... So, you know, she's so showing this kind of, or foreshadowing this survival capability. She's pragmatic. She's working out this maze really quickly. She has this photographic memory about locations. All these really cool things that come into play, not at all.
You know, it honestly made me think of the movie Atomic Blonde,
mm-hmm.
which Charlize Theron was an assassin.
Yeah. But here are the things that she's taught and... The things she knows already and the things she's taught, like, none of it is used or comes into play really at all. Other than the, like, where she chokes out Jameson at the end. Like, that's one flashback we get. But, like, everything else, it's like, no. There's a lot of stuff set up that went nowhere. But, yeah, she has that line. She's like, people die all the time. And William says, that's a good way to look at it. And I was like, is it? Is it really, though? Is that a good, healthy way for a child to be looking at things?
No.
Are you sure about that, William?
I don't know that he was really looking at her age and what was appropriate.
Yeah, and I guess, what is his funding? He says lots of funds and times, because I was like, is he recruiting her? Is this for the government, or is it just him? Personal, and then like you kind of say, like, it seems just like a personal vendetta he has. Where did he come from? Who is he? What, like, you know,
I know
what connections does he have? I don't,
nothing is fleshed out at all. It also was kind of like Black Widow in a way, but not
mm-hmm.
without all the backstory and understanding of what's going on. It's kind of like, yep, she's an assassin. Here you go. You mm-hmm. don't get much time to figure it out.
This random guy in a suit trained her.
Yep. No idea. Yeah. I mean, to me, he was supplying her with, you know, DMT and truth serum, you know, drugs and having her run barefoot in the woods.
Yeah, like he's training her for something that she's got to be prepared for the most, like, roughest conditions and to be fighting from underneath, to be the underdog, which makes sense. Like, I was like, okay, I see where that's going. We get this, like, all these, like, kind of training montages with them of doing this and doing that. Which, I'm sorry, at the end of that, he's like, so I wanted to test you to make sure that you could fight under all these different conditions. And now that I know that you've clearly shown that you can't, I'm proud and your training's done. You're ready. Because, like, she seemed to, like, fail everything. I was like, there's been literally nothing showing that she's prepared. Other than she choked one dude out in the bathroom. But other than that, like, I don't see that she's ready. That's not the vibe I get.
Well, she did shoot him, despite the fact there were no bullets in the gun. He told her to shoot him. And wound him, and she was doing it. Like, she was doing what she was told, except there were no bullets in the gun. And I think if you had a gun, you would be able to feel the weight difference of not having any bullets in the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Having held the gun before.
Yeah.
I think you would be able to feel the difference.
Right. And then there's the weird, like, love angle that they don't really do much with, but also, like, it's kind of like a hang-up she's got where she's just like, he just seems so unavailable. Like, clearly she, like, is in love with him, and he, but, like, immediately, like, in the hotel room when she comes out in the towel, I was like, no, I hate this a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, we literally just watched him interact with her as a little girl, and he has practically raised her, and any hint of romantic interest either way between them, it literally made me sick to my stomach, and I was like, please don't do that. Ever again, movie, don't. I was like, if you bring this back up, I know I'm supposed to record on this, but I'm going to turn this off because it makes me feel very uneasy and I hate it a lot.
Well, he told her, you have a bed over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to come on to him and he's just not reciprocating at all.
Yeah, but he lets her lay there. What's the weird thing at the end? What's the weird thing at the end with the pancakes? With the
pancakes? I don't know.
Fucking pancake. Why? What?
What do you think it is, Paige?
I don't want to think about it. I don't want to know. I don't care.
I don't know what it was. They were the worst pancakes ever or something.
I know. What was the terrible? I don't get it. So that's what I thought. I mean, I'm jumping again, but that's fine. Because with William, like, it's this whole, like, when he's set up, it's like, all right, you're going to have to do this mission alone because reasons, vague stare. But then after it's over and Jameson is dead. And then I was like, oh, so William was just there with a gun. So the whole you have to do this mission alone thing, why is he there? Why did she have to do it? It's like, well, we could explain that by saying, oh, look, there's no time. We have to get to the next scene. Don't worry about it. Let's go. I'm like,
let's go eat pancakes.
It's like, no, you can try to make, you know, try to make some kind of sense of it. And there's like, we could, but we got to do the pancake thing. Yeah. You know, that's more important right now.
It is. It's more important. Yeah.
William, the vaguest man alive.
Waste of talent. Waste of talent. He had, you know, little lines here and there, like, do you know what a gun is without bullets? Just a paperweight. But it was just so, like, it might as well have been, I don't know. You know those videos online where they have some automated voice read them, right? And yeah, that's what it could have been. I mean, really? I mean, she's just like, why can't I just shoot them? Like, that would be easier. And I'm like, yes, it would. Why are we playing this, like, game?
Well, because if you're out of bullets, then what are you going to do? It's like, then I use the hand-to-hand combat stuff that I'm also being trained with. But if I can save myself the danger and problem by just going in there with a hidden gun and then shooting them and then leaving... It's like, but then the movie would be over in 20 minutes, so we can't have that.
Well, I mean, we could cut a lot of this out and make it a short film anyway. It might even be more interesting.
Yeah. One aspect of the movie, I guess I'll say that I thought was interesting is this, the truth serum mixed with the DMT. So it's like a hallucinogenic truth serum, although the truth serum part never came into play. Also, like, not really. Like, they weren't really, like, confessing their stuff. Because even then, it's like, there wasn't a lot of, like, truth-telling. It was more the hallucination parts. Yes. Which I guess the truth serum part is that it's supposed to bring out your inner truth of what you're most afraid of, which is a very weird, specific thing that a thing would do. But at least that, you know, it kind of kept going back, and then we can see a little bit about these characters. Like, we see Veronica's biggest fear is being abandoned or given up on by William, because she has a very unhealthy, deep connection to him.
But I really think a lot of that is because he offered her ice cream as a child.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right, yes.
I think it's that...
That's the...
he was... all she had. I mean, she lost her parents. She had nobody else, and he was all she had. And so she put all of her faith in him, and he gave her ice cream. He promised her all the ice cream she could eat.
Yes, because we know it. That's why it's illegal to give children ice cream, because they immediately form a very unhealthy and inappropriate bond. That's how that goes. I mean, we saw... Nelson got ice cream from his mom, and we see what their relationship's like.
Oh,
so
man.
That's the real story of this movie, is ice cream is dangerous. Don't give it to people without consequences.
I thought it was ice cream, you can take it wherever you go. Oh, yeah, wait. That was another message. Okay.
Yeah. It's notes for them, but yeah, the ice cream cone that... The magical ice cream cone that transforms into a bat on the way out the door.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah. And then when they get in the car and then, like, they pick up the others and Danny's biting on his axe. And I was like, it hasn't transformed back into an ice cream cone yet, as he hoped it would. See, it doesn't work the other way around. That was the problem.
Right. That's the problem there. Yeah.
Ice cream can turn into weapons, but the weapons can't turn back into ice cream. Right. Sorry, Danny.
Yeah. He had tons of fun things to say, like, you're gonna love my friend Annabelle. She's to die for. And it's all these, it's based on the fact these people that they've killed, like, they were basically...
He named his axe Annabelle.
Oh.
Because then...
Oh, okay.
That first line didn't give that away. And so then he kept going. It's like, yeah, she's, you know, she's real grounded. Something grounded is like, she's got an edge on her. It's like, yeah, she's real sharp. And then it's like, okay, now you're hounding it. It's like, I didn't get the Annabelle thing. Then you made sure that I knew it was the axe. And then you kept going. I'm like, yes, we get it. It's the axe. Got it.
Okay. No, I didn't get it. I think I was just choosing to ignore it. I thought it was kind of ridiculous because he was so over the top and laughing. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, oh, please, Veronica, take him out first because I don't want to listen to him anymore.
Right.
Oh, man. He was too much. Mm-hmm. Way too much for me.
We get the scene, speaking of ice cream, we get the scene of Veronica going in and talking to Jennifer, which that was like a weird scene itself because I was like, are you trying to get information or are you hitting on her? Because I can't tell the difference and I don't think she can either.
I think the delivery, some of the delivery was kind of like,
Yeah.
It was...
She keeps talking about that milkshake. She goes back to the car with William. She's like, that's a great milkshake. I was like, well, if you like the milkshake so much, drink it. You should probably actually drink it.
Yeah, she didn't drink hardly any of it.
No. But of course, while wasting a perfectly good milkshake, she did get some seemingly important information that the boys were kind of at each other's throats and that she might have an advantage. She pulls them apart. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a big ploy, you know, and a big play for her. She's going to go in there and put them at odds against each other and... That's going to be a big advantage. And then they didn't do that at all. So
none of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
None of it.
Like there was a moment because we have where Jenny shows up and then Jameson is hitting on her and being a creep. I was like, oh, he's a total creep to girls. Even the ones he knows. Okay, great. And then that's when Shane walks in and catches them together. And then they have this whole fight thing. And I was just like, here's where the pitting them against each other part comes in. It's like the writers just forgot to actually include Veronica in it happening at all. But then we learn Jenny wasn't even there because that was Shane's fear was that she would. Which, okay, they actually kind of got me with that one. I didn't expect that twist. I was like, okay, cool. But then I was like, but then that means he never fought with Jameson and the turning them on each other thing still actually never happened. So the real twist was that that was a useless part of the plot.
kind of, yes. It was interesting, too, because you see Shane step in between them like he wants to protect Jenny, and then he's choking her.
You don't kill my girlfriend. Only I kill my girlfriend.
Yeah. It was a bit crazy. Actually, yeah. It was a lot crazy.
Yeah.
It was interesting watching their fears come to life, though, because I have to tell you, Danny's, what was with the pandas?
So I guess Danny's biggest fear is guys in panda masks. All right, sure. Go with that.
That made me laugh. That brought an emotion out of me. Laughter. Yeah. I'm like, what on earth? Really? Pandas.
Mm.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And it just was interesting how they interspliced him fighting with the pandas and him fighting with Veronica.
Yeah. Which they did that for all of the different, like,
yeah,
hallucinations. As she was, like, standing in, like, they would see her as whatever, which I don't know how that makes sense, really, because the drug's not connected to her, but
no. Okay,
we'll go with it. Which Nelson's I was very confused by.
You hear his mother's voice.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's something to do with his mother maybe abandoning him. But then there are these guys in ski masks, and I don't know what that represents.
Yeah, it was thoroughly confusing, because it's like there's a group of, like, masked men, like burglars. But then his mom, and then he's like, I knew you'd turn on me. And I'm like, who are you even talking to? Okay. And then, like, it looks like he's being abducted by aliens, because there's just this big spotlight from above on him in a circle. And I was like, well, I'm going to call it now before it happens. His head is going to land directly on that unfortunately placed rock in the circle of light he's standing in. But I was wrong. Never mind. The rock was going to land on his head.
Yeah. That was lovely.
Mm-hmm. After, like, he, like, fell over and he was, like, laying this way. And then it cut back to, like, oh, it's not these masked men. It's actually Veronica. And then he was laying a different direction. So that was another problem. And then when Jameson runs across Danny's body and he's laying in a different position with a smile on his face instead of that weird whatever was going on before. So I was like, I think there's a bigger problem in these woods, guys. There's bodies that just keep changing position and stuff on their own. That might be a bigger problem. Are we dealing with ghosts? Zombies? I don't know. But something else in these woods is happening.
There were a lot of continuity errors like that. I think it was difficult to really keep track of them, and it had to be suspension of disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, even the point where Nelson gave up his belt to tie up Veronica, and yet when she's fighting him, he's wearing his belt. Do you think he stopped to pick it up and put that on?
He probably did.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. Which, they kept setting things up and then not paying them off. Because, again, yeah, she kills Danny with his own axe.
Yes.
Great. But she doesn't play with the axe in the car. You have this whole scene of her wielding the bat and having, yes, Nelson's bat. So I'm like, oh, then she's definitely killing Nelson with his own bat. And I was like, hopefully she can swing it better than whatever that was, which I hate to assume was the best shot they could get. But then we get to the Nelson's death scene. I was like, oh, guess what? She didn't. The bat was not in play at all. So,
no.
Again, another thing that could have been some fun little foreshadowing that wasn't.
Well, I wondered if maybe, you know, they had her in the car wielding the bat. At one point, I thought, well, what if she is really cool and you decide, we really don't want to hurt her because she's actually very cool. And no, that didn't have anything to do with it. Well, like, yeah, there was no point to that scene.
Yeah. Other than Jameson kind of does that at the end, but that's after she's murdered all of his friends. And he's like, oh, now I think you're cool. How about we just, like,
let's get married
and go murder people together? And she's like, oh, so you are crazy. Got it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so the hallucinatory truth serum does come back with she has it in the flask, which was nice. Again, that's a bit of writing. I'm like, okay, it's cool that you let that be a through line. You do something with it.
Yeah.
And then I will say, One highlight I'll give Abigail Breslin is the scene where, like, they take her out to the woods, where she's she's a great job as an actress of pretending to pretend. Like, when her character is pretending something. Like, is, Veronica's a better actress than Abigail Breslin is in this movie. But no, she's doing a good job at pretending to be scared and helpless and not know what's going on, when obviously we know she's been prepped for this situation.
Yes, absolutely.
She's voluntarily entered into.
Yeah.
So, which that's the plan. She wants to make them think that she's weak and she's terrified so that it's easy to turn the tables on them. And I was, so then I was like, once we get that, it's like, okay, can we get to that part? Please.
Yes. I was ready for that part, honestly. I think most of the movie went by before we even got to that part. And yeah. I just feel like she dispatched them very quickly, and it might have been better to drag that out more than some of the other stuff. Like, I don't know. They're... Yeah.
This movie suffered from a lot of things, but pacing was definitely one of them.
Yeah. Abigail Breslin did a lot of her own stunts in the movie, though.
That's
like, you know, running through the woods, all of that. Yeah, she did a lot of her own stunts that way. The fight scenes and stuff, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't really have any more notes on her, necessarily. But, bouncing around, a lot of my notes are kind of the boys, Jameson, Danny, Nelson,
the boys!
And And, yeah, but not like the boys, like Amazon Prime, the boys, superhero, the boys, they're not that cool, but that's just kind of what they're referred to, they're not by their names, it's just like, the boys picking you up later, what are you and the boys gonna do? Now, these boys have killed a lot of people, it's just kind of all that they, so I'm like, okay, that's what they are, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about the boys.
Let's hear it for the boys! Okay,
Okay, you're very musical tonight.
Oh, it's only going to get worse.
Okay, so they admit that they've killed 10 to 12 girls, or at least that's what we know. But then Jameson said at the end he'd killed 21, so he's been at this longer than the others, I think.
Yeah, which, 12, 21, it doesn't matter. I was like, the character of Jennifer kind of frustrated me, because I'm like, she definitely knows what's going on, or at least has a good suspicion. Is either that, and she says nothing, or she's real, real dumb. Because this doesn't seem like a very big town.
No.
And so when you've had at least 12 girls going missing, and clearly her boyfriend and his friends have interacted with all of them in some version or some way, and she's probably been around for a lot of them, like she was with Gwen when Jameson's talking her up. So it's like, how has she not put together the pieces yet? Because
I'm not really sure. I thought it was interesting. Does she and Shane live together in that little house?
That's what it seemed like. Although they're 17. And it seems like they're in high school and they have prom every night.
Yeah, the whole thing with the tuxedos all the time.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Because when Jameson shows up, even to talk to... Because I was like, well, maybe... Like, the first scene when we see them talking to Gwen, I was like, oh, maybe it's after prom. So they're all wearing suits.
Yeah.
But then, like, the next night, Veronica's in there, and Jameson comes in and sits with her and starts talking. Which I was like, see, now that's somebody who can finish a milkshake. even if he is a weirdo who constantly wears a suit into the diner. And I was like, what? So I was very confused. And then I'm looking around at other people in the diner. Like, not only just Veronica is wearing this dress, but, like, the people sitting at, like, the bar in the diner have, like, nice, like, suits and dresses on. And I was like, is there a formal dress code to this dingy roadside diner? Is that? But then I noticed everybody. There's every single person, no matter where they are, is wearing some kind of nice formal evening wear. And I was like, the town of Vagesburg, where it's illegal to own or wear any casual or comfortable clothing. You must be dressed to the nines everywhere you go under penalty of law.
You know what, Peg? That's not a place I want to live.
No, not at all.
That would be a lot of effort every single day. No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much.
Yeah, and it's also illegal to own too much stuff in this town, apparently, also, because every room that they show is huge and sparsely furnished and decorated. There's so much empty space.
Well, they evidently don't understand feng shui.
No.
There's not any balance. It's lots of space, a little bit of furniture. There's nothing to balance it all out.
No.
There's nothing frivolous at all. It's all just, like, basic furniture.
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
It's a weird town. You have to dress up everywhere you go, no matter what. But you can't own too much stuff. All your rooms have to be huge and vacant.
That doesn't sound fun. I think, to me, it seemed like to take place in, like, the 50s. Like, it seemed very old school to me. Like...
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, like, especially with Danny, because it's like...
Oh my god.
What is he doing stuff? Like, also, he's a ventriloquist who can sing Louis Armstrong songs while moving his mouth in a completely different way than what those words and sounds should look like. So he's got some ability as well. Good for him.
Well, he could have gone on, what, Ed Sullivan?
Mm-hmm.
You know? One of those shows. He could have gone on a variety show and performed.
Yeah. But yeah, man, there's just so many thoughts with this. Like, you mentioned Jennifer and Shane in that room, which is giant, empty room with the bed. It's like, what do you guys do out there? Oh, nothing special. We hunt. And I was like, oh, that's a totally normal thing to say, and it's not ominous at all, and definitely not the biggest red flag I've ever seen. Cool. Thanks, babe.
Yeah, I mean... You're going to wear a tuxedo to hunt. It just doesn't make sense. And even later when we have the Jennifer coming out there, but it's not really Jennifer. And she's talking to Jameson about them being out there dressed like that, hunting, like it doesn't, you know, dressed in a tuxedo. It doesn't make sense.
No.
But then we figure out it's Veronica.
Yeah. This town is just weird. Because, I mean, aside from the clothing, it's just a lawless wasteland. I mean, Nelson and his mom, you know, are the boys coming to get you? Oh, any minute now. So you're getting picked up any minute now, and you're also going to eat some ice cream, but you only took, like, one bite of your steak. These people are animals, Daphne.
I know. Do you think he maybe ate all of his vegetables and left the steak? I mean, who does that?
If I had that kind of steak in front of me, I'd be like, the boys can wait just a few minutes because I'm going to eat this first and I'm not going to interrupt it with ice cream. No.
No. No. No. Not having it.
Mm-mm. But yeah, there's just so many weird things about them. Like, you know, Jameson getting Veronica, you know, oh, I'm going to pick you up at this time, being very forward, which, I mean, I guess that works for some guys. And so it's like, good, fine. But then... afterwards, like, actually picking her up at the diner and bring her outside. And you're like, oh, you know, just a typical small town date between a girl, a boy, and the boy's three weird friends.
That would have been, like, an immediate, okay, good night, goodbye. And he told her she had to wear red lipstick and have clean hair. What does that have to do with anything? No.
He said red lipstick, not red dress. She doesn't listen.
No.
No.
But... I'm starting to wonder if maybe they were trying to make this a David Lynch movie, but Tyler Shields isn't David Lynch, so it doesn't work.
All right. Yeah, but even before, like, the jig is up and, like, what's going on, they're just... It's like, Danny, have you ever heard of personal space? No? Okay.
No.
And then even out in the woods before, they're playing the games and stuff. It's like, they're actively trying to be as sketchy as possible, right? Right? Like, that's their goal?
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing.
I mean, why would you want to go out there? And then they've got a couch there for you to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
It just... I don't know. I don't know, Paige.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
And of course, Danny. We talked about him a little bit. But you Babylonian whore! Is it? Yes, you already used that one. 5 seconds ago.
Yes. Are you going to do it again? Oh, yes. He's done it again. We heard you the first time.
Mm-hmm. Just very, very over the top. How's that for pain for you, Danny Boy? He gets taken out. But yeah, even after death, he's as dramatic as possible. That look on his face was like, my God.
But then it disappeared, yeah. Right?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't Danny make sense. Boy. Danny Boy. Danny Boy. He got knocked down. Ain't getting up again. Yeah, is Axel Shirley keeping down? Sorry.
You just continue the gems. You just continue the gems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. It's what I do. Nancy, I've already said a lot of these. During that weird conversation with Jameson and Jenny that actually never happened, and Shane wasn't even there, so why did that conversation happen? Because he wouldn't have even been there to imagine.
I know.
Anyway, where she's asking, or, you know, or no, something's like, he said he's telling the truth to her, and then Shane's like, no, he's lying. And he goes, you know, I would never lie. And it's like, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a liar. And it's like, well, except for the complete list of lies you just told Veronica earlier, but those don't count, I guess. And I don't think Jameson knows what he believes in or where he stands. Cause also what he says to Jenny is like, we're all just animals and we don't change. I was like, okay, but literally like a minute ago, you just said you've evolved. So which is it?
Yeah. Make a decision and stick to it. Own mm-hmm. it. I don't think you're owning anything here. You're flip-flopping more than they do on Survivor.
Right.
There's a reason that this movie did not score well.
Yeah. It's a lot of it. And a lot of it for me, it is the dialogue that is just clunky and doesn't make sense and kind of just does. Yeah, like there's no through line with the dialogue. They'll say one thing and then say the complete opposite later. Or some of it's just kind of lazy writing. I don't know. It's like, what's the point of saying that? It's not setting anything up. Or you're trying to have this thematic thing and it's like, you're pushing it too hard. Like just afterwards when Jameson is like, okay, we're just, you know, I'm not going to hurt you. Let's have this conversation. As the rules to the game are, I ask you a question, you answer it. You ask me a question, I answer it. Dude, that's not a game. That's a conversation.
Yes. You know what? We do it on this podcast. Hey, what do you think of this movie? I think it's terrible. And then you ask me a question.
Right.
Sometimes that's how it works.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of fun recording this, but we're not playing a game.
Games? It's just- no. It's a conversation. You know.
And then he's asking her, one of his questions is, why were my friends tripping balls? It's like, why would you know your friends were hallucinating? You'd just found their dead bodies after the fact. You didn't even see them before. You wouldn't have known that.
No. He didn't see them anything go down, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
He's not a psychic.
Mm-hmm. No.
But he didn't drink. He was the only one who didn't drink any of the alcohol until she poured it down his throat.
Yeah.
Just so he could see at the end. His biggest fear was all of his past victims coming back to get him.
Yeah, which that I mentioned way earlier. I said, there's one thing I really liked about this movie, and that was it.
Yeah.
Which it ties in, I guess, like the overarching thing that I really liked was the hallucination serum stuff, the drug, the DMT that keeps coming back. I liked that through line, especially because it led to that where his biggest fear is, yeah, all of his past victims coming back for him, which so it's like, well, whoever wrote this didn't have all bad ideas. There's a gem or two in there somewhere, hidden deep.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think I have much more to say about this one.
I've got William's the last section. I'm trying to see if I have any notes that I haven't already said. I don't know about his character was like creepy vibes right from the beginning. I mean, sitting with a little girl in a big empty room at a big table. And it's just his delivery was very much like, you're creepy, sir. Like, there's no warmth in your voice or delivery at all right now.
No.
Very clinical, which is like, that just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Do you think that they all got mixed up? Do you think that maybe the briefs on each of the characters got given to the wrong people?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he drove her to the restaurant and said, this is the final test. Okay, so now that she passed the test, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. We're never going to find out. And, yeah, I have questions that are never going to get answers.
Yeah, and there's just a lot. His training methods are really weird. Like, kill me! I'm going to kill you! And it's like, I get you're, like, proving that she can't hesitate for anything. And she's got to be willing to do anything. Like, okay, I get that. But then it's, again, like, things don't make sense. We talked about the spiel with the gun. Like, you can't use a gun. I was like, okay, so he had this whole talk about the gun. And then in the, like, training montage stuff, he's showing her how to load a gun quickly. I'm like, but you said there's no gun. Why is she training with guns? You're not going to give her a gun. Why are we doing this?
Well, that's it. I mean, she tells him it'd be so easy if you just let me have a gun. Like, why are we making it more difficult than it needs to be? Mm-hmm. Because he takes joy in making her run through the woods with no shoes on.
Right. I mean, I think he's... I know you mentioned, like, on the bed scene where he's like, you have your bed over there, we can't do this. But, like, he's not... He wasn't really, you know, pushing back too hard. And I think he built up her weird infatuation and her unhealthy connection a little bit. Because the scene at the bar, wherever she goes into the bathroom with the one guy and chokes him out. What does he say to the guy? Oh, you took my girlfriend in here. Girlfriend.
Yep.
You could have also just said daughter.
Exactly. She really has never been exposed to very many other people, I don't think. But I don't know, because we were never shown anything. It's crazy.
Right. So, yeah, we don't know their relationship and if it makes me grossed out or not, because we don't have time to explain everything, because pancakes. Got to do pancakes.
With whipped cream.
Mm-hmm. Which she sensually dips her finger in and licks off, leaving me just uncomfortable.
So out of all the movies that we've covered,
this was one of them.
This one has made you one of the ones that's made you the most uncomfortable.
Right. Their relationship, even though nothing is ever like established, makes me uncomfortable. It's not healthy.
No. But you have to figure that this is what she was brought up in. She was not brought up in a normal home. Mm-hmm. And all that she wanted to do was please him, like, by accomplishing everything and doing everything that he wanted her to do. That's what she was focused on.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all the notes I've got. I'm tapped out on Final Girl myself.
All right. Tapped out. Well, then, I think we have done it in about an hour. We have covered this movie. Yeah. I think it was fun to talk about it because it was... There were a lot of little things that were ridiculous. And so it makes it fun when there are ridiculous things going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting close to the end of our season, Paik. Can you believe it?
Yeah, we are. It's crazy.
We're very close to the end.
Almost there.
Yeah. It seems crazy.
A lot of stuff we get to look back on. Probably look right over this one. But there's a lot.
Maybe if we're looking at, I don't know, anything that's the worst. Oh, no, we're not the raspberries. That's right. Right. Okay.
Don't you
that makes sense. Well, I wonder what our listeners... Oh. Wow.
It beat you to it this time.
Yeah, I think the feedback phone had that. Enough.
Yeah, it was ready to cut in. So we will see if anything people had to say about this. All right, we do have one little piece of feedback this week. I won't say little, one big one, one great one, because it's always Catherine coming through for us. We always appreciate that. So I'll go ahead and read that here for Final Girl. Catherine says, I ended up watching this twice because I thought Final Girl was about William training Veronica to take out whoever killed his wife and daughter. But the group of boys were too young, so now I have more questions. Who did William work for? Had his family's killer been taken care of? How did he know about the murders in the woods, etc.? The final hunt was fantastic. I love Abigail Breslin from her role in Little Miss Sunshine, and it's great to see that she's still portraying a strong female character. Veronica reminded me a lot of Erin from You're Next. The guys assumed she'd be an easy victim, and they were fatally wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right on the part where the guys assumed she was going to be easy, and they were wrong. I think overall, though, Erin to me is a much stronger female character than Veronica.
Yeah, and a lot of that's as you've listened to this, and unfortunately, through your feedback, it sounds like you found this movie quite enjoyable. You'd enjoyed it. So then hopefully this episode didn't deter you too much or didn't hurt your soul too much, because I know we tore it apart in quite a few little areas. But I think that goes to show kind of what we were talking about in a way that, yeah, the premise is really strong. The character herself on paper and that kind of twist is really cool. I just don't know if it was executed as well as it could have been versus how Aaron and Your Next was a lot more fleshed out. And there was, I think, just better writing overall. But that said, I'm not going to sit here and crap on this movie anymore about the writing and stuff. So I'm glad that you enjoyed, you know, what you did enjoy. And thank you so much for your feedback on that. And yeah, a lot of questions with William. Like, I think we might have pieced some of that together of assuming maybe if it's a generational thing and maybe yeah. It was these kids' parents or, you know, fathers that had something to do with it. And he's just kind of training her to break the cycle. I don't know. But there's thoughts. Maybe you have your own thoughts after watching this and you can let us know those too.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to know what you think, Catherine, after you listen to how we broke it down. So feel free to send us additional feedback next week on it. We'd love it. If you'd like to submit feedback like Catherine, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Run For Your Lives Podcast. You can email us at runforyourlivespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're enjoying this show, please tell your friends. We are available on all the podcast players, including Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. And I have to admit, I got a little behind on the YouTube posting, but you'll find everything is up there now.
Yeah, I noticed that. I went on my YouTube the other day and my subscriptions were just like all RFYL in a row for a little bit. And I was like, oh, Daphne's caught up. She got everything up on here now. Posted them all back to back.
Yeah, yeah. I got everything up. So they're all there now. You know that you can always go to runforyourlivespodcast.com for all the links that you'll ever need and give us a review on Apple Podcasts if you feel so inclined, as that is the best way to share the love and get us out there even more. We really appreciate it.
We do. Absolutely. Of course, speaking of sharing the love, got to give those shout outs to stuff going on in the podcast universe around us. Starting right here on Podcastica. Now, this is kind of a slower week, off week, not a lot going on. Kind of in between shows, still waiting on things to start. Even the rewatches and stuff. The people doing the rewatch podcasts have been busy with other stuff. But there's a few things that you definitely should go check out this week. As I mentioned last week, the Wilhelm and House Podcastica joint coverage of Fallout Season 1, the entire season, with Jason, Ben, and Doug guesting on that one, talking about the entire first season of Fallout. I'm almost done listening to that, and it has been a blast listening to a lot of the thoughts of somebody who only really knows the show versus people who have played a lot of the games and kind of comparing and contrasting and talking about things. It's been a really cool conversation. So yeah, definitely check that out. And also just check out Fallout if you haven't watched that on Amazon Prime, because it's so good. So definitely check that out. And then speaking of the rewatches, the one that is still going this week, still slaying the Buffy Universe podcast with Kara and Penny. They've got Jim on there this week talking about Season 3, Episode 16, Doppelgangland. So also make sure to check that out. So that's all for Podcastica, but on the outside again of that network, our good friends over at TV Podcast Industries with their incredible kind of network of podcasts and shows that they do. They, you know, got Shogun wrapped up after this week with the finale there, so you can go check out their coverage of Shogun with the finale and the whole season. Just go back and, you know, if you haven't watched Shogun, again, like I mentioned with Fallout, go watch Shogun because it's also incredibly well done and really good. Wonderful story. And then you can go back and check out TV Podcast Industries coverage of all of that. And of course, starting a new show, just kicking up, you can also check out their coverage now starting with Dead Boy Detectives, which is the Sandman universe spinoff. So that's really cool that that's going on. So you go check that out. I still haven't finished Sandman. I'm bad. I know. I'm going to get to it.
Me too.
Because it's just so much good. There's a lot of shows that I started and then start another show and get caught, you know, left behind on. So especially with Netflix, there's a lot of good stuff on Netflix. I still haven't finished Avatar, Last Airbender yet. Like a little over halfway. I'll get there. Just TV. So many good TV shows. But yeah, so if you're in the Sandman universe enjoying all of that with Dead Boy Detectives now out, you can also, while watching that, check out TV Podcast Industries as they're covering that series as well.
Yes, they are.
All right. Now, usually I would say, then you can always come back here next week for what we got. But, however, as you, this episode was up, you know, a day late for some of you, you know, by the time you're listening to it. Hopefully getting it up a little later on the day. But we had some technical issues with internet service and all kinds of stuff that, you know, first world problems. So we had to push back recording on some stuff a little bit. So either feedback got out, the episode got out a little late, and then just with our schedules, I've got a busy week. Daphne's got a super busy week. So we are unfortunately going to take next week off. We're going to, you know, you get a little break from us, but we're almost to the end of the season. So we're getting stuff prepared, make sure we have everything able to get recorded and edited and sound great for you when we release it. So next week, we'll give you just 1 week to miss us. You can go back and listen to some old episodes if you haven't listened to them yet, because we've built quite a great catalog of really fun conversations and movies and episodes. So find something that intrigues you that you haven't listened to or watched yet and check it out next week. That can be your, you know, assignment if you need something Run for Your Lives to do.
Yeah, and feel free to leave us feedback on that. We'd be happy to know if you go back to listen to an older episode. What episode was it? And what did you like about it? We would, yeah, that would make us super happy. But Paige, we really should tease what's coming then in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Have to do it. So we were both inspired by a movie that just came out by a certain director. And so we're going to dive into a movie where a biologist ventures as part of a 5-person team into a mysterious mutating landscape known as Area X, only to encounter bizarre phenomena and existential threats. As she delves deeper, she realizes the true nature of the enigma might be far more unsettling than she's ever imagined. We are going to discuss Alex Garland's 2018 science fiction horror film Annihilation, which was loosely based on Jeff Vandermeer's 2014 novel of the same name. It stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Oscar Isaac, and more.
Yeah, we are on the Alex Garland kick. If you haven't seen Civil War, that's out in theaters right now. It's not really one that fits this podcast, this vibe, but you know, we love our Alex Garland around here. At least I know I do. Definitely with Annihilation, I've been looking forward to covering. And Civil War, I thought was incredible.
Absolutely.
Of course, Ex Machina is a favorite of mine. And then even though he didn't direct, you know, 28 Days Later, his writing behind that was just awesome. So we love talking about Alex Garland. And actually, I have this in my notes for that, so you get a little bit of a spoiler for notes that would have been if we would have been able to record this week like we planned, because I was on a Garland kick this week, because I did do a lot of my notes in prep for Annihilation. So I had just an Alex Garland week, 3 days in a row, 3 Alex Garland movies, because I went and saw Civil War, and then the next night I made sure to knock out the one movie directed by him that I hadn't seen yet that's kind of slipped out. So I watched Men the other night. Ooh. And then the next day I did like my prep and stuff for Annihilation and getting notes and stuff together. So I watched that for the first time in a while. So yeah, just Alex Garland kick this week with 3 movies in a row, 3 days in a row. Been living in the Garlandverse.
Well, you know, and it's a really exciting time because we have just learned, you know, 28 years later is making casting decisions, and Alex Garland is going to be writing that film. So that's coming. I mean, we've been waiting, what, 20 years, 21 years?
Yeah.
Since the original. We haven't covered 28 weeks later yet, but you can rest assured that we will before 28 years later comes out.
Yeah. Maybe we'll go ahead and slot that in next season somewhere.
Well, it's almost next season, so we're going to be slotting movies in pretty quick here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happening.
So we might get to that sooner than later. Yeah, speaking of that, so yeah, since you don't get next week, 2 weeks we'll come back with Annihilation. So I'll go ahead and give you an extra little treat that Daphne didn't know about, I guess, which if you're somebody who listens closely and pays a lot of attention, you already know what's coming up for the rest of the season. As I said, we are wrapping up the season. So you get the rest of the season rundown. So we'll get Annihilation in 2 weeks. After that, we are recovering Tremors, the original, the first Tremors movie as our like Tremors, because we finished Shrieker Island last season. So to continue the Tremors stuff, we're circling all the way back and redoing, recovering, looking at it in our new style of the kind of way we've evolved as a podcast over time to relook at the first Tremors movie. So we'll do that one in 2 episodes from now, so 3 weeks. And then we'll wrap it up after that with another look back special, our Riffle Awards, all of the stuff that we like to do. So get ready for all of that. And then we'll take another little break for about a month or so and then come back with the next season. And we've already got some great movies slated and talked about that we want to do next season. And maybe give us some feedback also on stuff that you'd like for us to get to that we haven't yet. We always love hearing from you guys and getting ideas.
So. Yeah, definitely. We may dive into a movie that I think Garrett has suggested every single time that we ask for suggestions. We may start a series finally. We may finally start a series that Garrett has been requesting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What a interesting destination that could take us to.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, with that, we've reached the end of this episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Paige.
And if you have to run, you better run for your lives.
Bye-bye.